Hello there. I'm James. I'm the pastor of the Glenwood Moravian Community Church in Madison, Wisconsin. And this is The Essentials. Here on this podcast, we talk about our faith. We dive into questions and wonderings, and we celebrate good news that we see in the world. For this episode, I have our lesson and our message from Sunday, September 1st. Happy fall to you all. Happy back to school, to those heading back to school. Our lesson from Sunday was from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 17 through 27. And this was from the Living Bible translation. But whatever is good and perfect comes to us from God, the creator of all light, and he shines forever without change or shadow. It was a happy day for him when he gave us our new lives through the truth of his word, and we became, as it were, the first children in his new family. Dear brothers, don't ever forget that it is best to listen much, speak little, and not become angry, for anger doesn't make us good, as God demands that we must be. So get rid of all that is wrong in your life, both inside and outside, and humbly be glad for the wonderful message we have received, for it is able to save our souls as it takes hold of our hearts. And remember, it is a message to obey, not to just listen to. So don't fool yourselves. For if a person just listens and doesn't obey, he's like a man looking at his face in a mirror. As soon as he walks away, he can't see himself anymore or remember what he looks like. But if anyone keeps looking steadily into God's law for free men, he'll not only remember it, but he will also do what it says. And God will greatly bless him in everything he does. Anyone who says he's a Christian but doesn't control his sharp tongue is just fooling himself, and his religion isn't worth much. The Christian who is pure and without fault, from the God the Father's point of view, is the one who takes care of orphans and widows, and who remains true to the Lord, not soiled and dirtied by his contacts in the world. Here ends the reading of our word. So a few interesting facts about the book of James, because I think it's a book that we don't spend a lot of time with, and if I'm being a little bit biased, I think it has a pretty good name. So the book of James, it resides in the New Testament of the Bible. It is the first of what we call the universal letters. Many books in the New Testament are letters that were written to specific communities, Galatians, Corinthians, Ephesians. But James has no specific audience in mind. It's written for Christians in general. And next is the authorship of the book. The book begins by the author saying that his name is James. But the New Testament has a lot of Jameses to choose from. There's James, the son of Zebedee, James, the son of Alphaeus, James, the father of Jude, James, who is called the younger. And there's also James, the brother of Jesus. While it's debated, much like the authorship of many of the books in the New Testament, there is a strong reason to believe that this book was written by Jesus' brother, which that alone is an incredible thing to think about. Because we have writings from his disciples, the people who walked with him and followed him. We have writings from Paul, who has a spiritual encounter with Jesus. But to think that this book was written by someone who grew up with Jesus, who played with him as a child, who watched his life unfold, it's truly a special thought. And finally, some consider this book to be a part of biblical wisdom literature. The works in scripture that focus on our human experience and our quest to live righteous lives. These books explore the topics of suffering, justice, and the nature of God. Like they're giving advice on how to live a moral and ethical life. Proverbs is a collection of wise sayings. Job contemplates theodicy, or the relationship between God and human suffering. Ecclesiastes reflects on the meaning of life and the vanity of human endeavors. Song of Solomon shares about the beauty of love. The book of James focuses on knowledge and wisdom, and it offers guidance on how to live as a Christian in the world, how to serve the world without being polluted by it. And it's this difference between knowledge and wisdom that we will focus on today with James' help. So James offers this distinction by describing someone who's looking into a mirror. Someone who hears the word of God is like someone looking into the mirror, staring at their face. But once they look away, they immediately forget what they look like. And that would be knowledge. They know something, but they don't know how to use what they've learned. They need to be reminded. They don't know how to apply it. Those with wisdom don't forget what they've seen. They don't forget this perfect law from God that they've been given, and they're actually able to apply it in their lives. Instead of needing to go back to the mirror to look again and again, they can go forward and make good decisions. They can implement moral practices in their lives because they have wisdom, not just knowledge. I had never thought of looking into a mirror that way. For me, looking into a mirror makes me see two things, and it might be the same for you. The first thing I see are those things that I would change about my appearance. What I determine to be my flaws stand out the most. But some days I see one lonely silver hair trying to hide in my bangs. Other days I see teeth that aren't as white or as straight as they could be. And other days, it feels like my nose is trying to jump out and grab the mirror. We can be harsh with ourselves as we gaze into our reflection. And for kids today, in the age of social media where body image is everything, looking into the mirror can be traumatic based on what the world is telling them they should look like. The second thing I see when I look into the mirror is a sort of time machine. When I look at my reflection, I still see a kid who could be starting his first year of high school. And I know that I'm much, much older, but I still see a kid looking back at me. I feel like I don't look as old as my parents were when they were my age. And that when I see those pictures of them in their early 30s, they look like they're settled. They look like they have life all figured out. That guy looking at me in the mirror, he looks like he's late for English class. He shouldn't be doing adult things like planning for retirement. That's what I see, at least. Now, earlier this week, I took my son Silas for his 4-month checkup. My wife was at work, so it was just father and son time. As we waited between seeing the nurse and the doctor, I was walking around the room with him, trying to keep him entertained. And we ended up in front of a full-length mirror that was on the back of the door. I made some silly faces, and I tried to get Silas to realize that he is the baby in the mirror. But he couldn't really find himself because his eyes were locked on my reflection that he was seeing. I started to watch the way he looked at me and how we were seeing two completely different people in that reflection. I was seeing my younger self. I saw all my flaws under a microscope. And he sees his dad, who, by his estimation, has it all figured out. He sees the man who knows what he needs when he's uncomfortable. He sees the face who has mastered the car seat and the stroller and always has the right toy ready. He sees the guy who knows the exact amount of bounce and sway that will help him fall asleep when he's fighting a nap. In that reflection, he sees someone wise, regardless of what I see. He sees someone who, whether it's learned or by instinct, who knows what to do and then is able to do it. I wish I could see myself the way that he sees me. So I want to offer a gift to my church this morning, Glenwood Moravian. I want to hold up a mirror so you can see this church the way that I see them. Because when I look at them and when the congregation looks at them, we might be seeing two different things in that same reflection. Maybe in the reflection, the church sees its flaws, where it struggles or lacks, that it's too small or that it's not young enough. They might see the things they would change. Or maybe they see the church that Glenwood used to be. The view in the reflection might reside several decades in the past. It might be all that people can see from their perspective. So allow me to share what I have seen in this almost year that I've been here. I see a church that has reason to be actively thinking about their budget, a church that knows margins are thin these days. And yet, for most of the fundraisers that take place here, at least half of the proceeds leave this congregation to help out another organization. When there would be every right to save what was earned to help this church when so many churches are struggling, those funds leave to bless other groups. I see a church that houses people of many different opinions and beliefs. That's politically, biblically, spiritually. I see people who will never, ever agree on certain topics. And yet those differences don't stop an ounce of love from being shared. Conversations, yes, even arguments, are had with respect and love, and people keep coming back to the same table together. I see a congregation who wouldn't let their pastor or his wife cook for 3 weeks after they had a baby. People who stocked the fridge and even vacuumed the parsonage. I see a community who finishes Sunday morning worship and then is in no rush to be anywhere else in the world because of the deep sense of care they have for the people here. And I see a church that's a safe place for people who are curious about faith. A healthy place for people to start seeking their journey with God. And that's just a little bit of knowledge that I have. That's what I see. And I haven't told you anything new. Glenwood Moravian knows those things about themselves. They know that's what happens here. And if we are wise, not just knowledgeable, if we are wise, we won't forget who we are and what we do. We will know deep in our being that we are called to do God's work, and we know we are doing it well, despite the noise from the world or our own tendency to find flaws in our reflection. And I hope we can be wise to remember the true image of this church, to see ourselves the way our community sees us. A place where faith, hope, and love abound. Amen. I'm glad you stopped by for another episode. If you'd like to learn more about the church that I serve, it's Glenwood Moravian in Madison. You can check out our website, join us for worship on YouTube, or stay up to date on current events on Facebook. And if you want to learn more about the Moravian Church in general, go to moravian.org. So take care, be well. I'll catch you all next time.